Welcome to Travel Writers Radio, Nicole Bilson. Nicole is a sommelier and a wine educator, and I want to ask her two questions initially. How do you educate? The first is, how do you educate people about wine? Most people will say things like, as they do about painting, oh, I don't know much, but I know what I like. How do you educate people about wine? Where do you start?
Well, I think largely it depends on who I'm educating. So if it's a young person that's wanting to become more involved in the wine industry, we'll start quite classically with grape varieties and that type of information for them. If it's a general consumer, I do a lot of masterclasses and that type of thing at wine bars with just people who are really interested in wine. With those kind of people, we often start talking a little bit more about what they like, trying to relate it to wines that they've had before, or trying to get a little bit more of an understanding about where their knowledge sits at to begin with.
Okay, so if I said to you, if you said to me, what do you like, Greta? And I said something like, oh, I really like a Heathcote Shiraz, I like a big red. Where would you go from there?
I think maybe, a lot of the work that I do in education involves a tasting component as well. So I think it in that sort of situation, tasting some wine together and starting to understand the different components of the wine, different flavours that people enjoy, but also focusing on some of the structural elements like the tannin levels and the way tannins feel in your mouth and that type of thing can help people to start to have a little bit more of an understanding about what exactly wine is
and how it works in your mouth.
Absolutely. That's the most important thing.
Or how it works on your nose and then in your mouth.
Exactly.
And how it looks, so that a cloudy wine, for instance, is usually not going to be gorgeous.
Probably not. Depends what you like, but probably not.
Probably not. Wines with certain aromas you might or might not like.
Exactly.
It's the thing I've observed with people is that it's very interesting and often quite challenging to get people to focus on what they're tasting and smelling.
Absolutely. And I think that that's something that is hard to start getting your head around. I think people can easily be overwhelmed by watching other people taste, and they somehow feel that a lot of people will say to me, oh, I don't have a good palate. But most people do have a good palate, and you can train your palate to be better if that's something that you're interested in. One of the things that I say, particularly to wine students, is the best way to learn how to taste wine is to relearn how to taste food. So I tell them to explore the foods that they eat. If they're eating a white peach, to smell it first, to taste it, to start to really associate those flavours with a white peach, so that if they smell those characteristics in a wine, they can differentiate it compared to other fruits.
That's right. And the differences between a white peach and a yellow peach.
Exactly, exactly.
Or a cantaloupe and a honeydew.
Absolutely.
Or a Granny Smith and a Royal Gala.
Absolutely.
And a snow pea and a broad bean.
All of those things. Yes.
And I remember talking to a group of women who told me that they really couldn't smell any of the things their husbands were smelling in wine. So we had a lesson in aromas. And we smelt peaches and we smelt oranges and lemons and limes and grapefruit. And then we talked about all the smells they could identify. And I said, so who remembers the smell of your children when they're sick? And everyone blinked and nodded. And who knows the smell of potatoes when they're about to burn?
Yes.
And everyone looked very alert, and I said, so don't tell me you can't smell.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's an important thing to note. Smell is the sense that's most closely linked to memory. And there's a particular part of your brain called the piriform cortex, if anyone's interested, that actually registers the smells and helps to create those memories. And like anything, it's a neural pathway. So the same as you can learn to ride a bike, or the same as your muscles will remember how to run or to walk, you can strengthen up those connections in your brain.
Neural pathways. I believe that's a very ancient part of the brain.
As far it's as very I know.
A really primitive part of the brain. And language comes later.
Right, yes. I mean, it was probably linked to people not dying from eating poisons and that type of thing,
right.
I imagine.
So. Or remembering the smell of friends and of enemies.
Ah, absolutely, yes.
Yes, I know you. I don't want to be yes. around you. I can understand people in the industry needing to know about wine, and I can understand people simply wanting to know more in order to enjoy wine better.
Absolutely. And I think that that's a really important thing. A big part of what sommeliers do is in their day-to-day work is ask people questions around what they like. And one of the things I like to focus on with masterclasses with people who are just interested in wine is helping them develop language around the types of wines that they enjoy so that they can communicate that to somebody else. If someone says to me, my favourite wine is a Pinot Noir, that gives me a picture of the types of other things, even if they want to delve away from that grape variety or that style that they particularly drink, it gives me a different idea of the sorts of things they might like than if someone says, I love a rich Heathcote Shiraz.
Yeah, I want a Heathcote Shiraz. Yeah. Yes, very different. How did you become a sommelier?
There's a lot of different pathways. In Australia, there is no particular legal title or anything like that associated with the sommelier. Sommelier is purely someone, a wine waiter or a wine steward or someone who specializes in wine in a restaurant. But there are a couple of very good education streams that give you a really lovely overall understanding of wine and also help to develop a palate that is objective rather than subjective. It's not helpful as a sommelier to only know what you like. Yeah. So there's a couple of pathways. One of those is the Court of Master Sommeliers, which is, they're both international, an international course, and that's particularly big in America, but is available in Australia. And the other course of study, which is the one that I have focused more on, is the Wine and Spirits Education Trust, or WSET, and that's again an international course but based a little bit more in the UK.
And that means that those international courses mean that you're getting to know wines from all regions and in all styles.
Absolutely, and I think that that's really important in terms of I guess just an overall understanding. And I've learned a lot of geography of the world through understanding their wine styles, and you can start to learn a lot more about different countries by understanding what they drink and why they drink those things.
And where things are grown.
Absolutely.
What wines do you like to drink?
That is such a hard question. I think if I had to pick just one thing, it would be champagne. And that is, I love the freshness, I love the acidity. It's a lot more versatile than a lot of people think. Champagne, there are styles that can go with an entire meal. So I really love that style. And I guess there's a romance and a magic to the way that it's made that really appeals to me. But I like to drink really widely. I love to explore grape varieties that I haven't had a lot of experience with. At the moment, I'm trying to get my hands on some of the slightly more obscure Greek varieties, which is not something we see a lot of in Australia. So
no, but they're becoming, I understand, rather more popular in Greece, as in other countries where people are turning much more to indigenous grape varieties.
Absolutely.
Rather than working on Chardonnay, Cabernet and Shiraz.
Exactly, yes.
Nicole Bilson, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.